Hey everyone, welcome back to Daily Newsletter Digest. It's Monday, May 4th, 2026, and wow, do we have a packed show today.
Yeah, I was going through the queue this morning and my first thought was, where do we even start? We've got everything from Spirit Airlines shutting down to a secret AI model that's so good at hacking the government won't let it out.
Right? And speaking of things the government's involved in, oil prices are still climbing, even though the U.S. just became the world's number one crude exporter. We'll get into that paradox in a bit, but let's kick things off with some personal finance news, because if you've got unused Spirit Airlines tickets, you're going to want to hear this.
Oh man, Spirit. That's been all over the news this weekend.
Yeah, so Spirit Airlines officially ceased operations on Saturday. All flights canceled. 17,000 jobs gone. This comes after two bankruptcies and a failed bailout deal with the Trump administration. Doctor of Credit put out a guide on what to do if you're stuck with an unused ticket. Basically, look for rescue fares from other airlines and consider filing a chargeback with your credit card company.
And this wasn't exactly a surprise, right? I mean, their market share had already dropped from 3.4% of domestic flights in May 2024 to just over 1% this month.
Exactly. They'd been shrinking for a while. The bigger question now is whether this lets the remaining carriers jack up prices, since Spirit was basically the floor for budget fares.
Which is extra painful given that gas prices are already through the roof because of the Iran situation. Speaking of which...
Yeah, let's talk about that oil export thing, because it's genuinely bizarre. So the US exported a record 5.2 million barrels of crude per day in April, 30% higher than before the Iran war started. We've officially overtaken Saudi Arabia as the world's top crude exporter.
And yet Americans are spending way more on gas. Morning Brew said people spent $125 million more on gas on May 1st than the Friday before.
Right. And international Brent crude is up 89% since January. So what gives? The issue is refinery mismatch. US refineries are built for heavy, sour crude, the kind we use to import from places like Venezuela and the Middle East. But American wells produce light crude, which we export because our own refineries can't efficiently process it.
So we're exporting what we produce and still dependent on imports for what we actually refine.
Exactly. And right now, Asian buyers are snapping up US crude as a last resort while the Strait of Hormuz is blocked. But commodity researcher Matt Smith from Clowler said Middle Eastern crude is a hole that can't be plugged. Demand will shift back as soon as the strait reopens.
Which brings us to the geopolitical side. Trump announced the US would start escorting ships through the strait, and Iran's military immediately said they'd strike any US forces that try.
Yeah, Iran's state media called it delirium. Not exactly a de-escalation. And Trump's approval numbers are taking a hit. Washington Post poll shows his disapproval is at an all-time high.
All right, shifting gears, let's talk some deals and bonuses. There's actually some good stuff this week if you're into churning bank accounts.
Yeah, AliInvest brought back their $200 bonus. You need to open a self-directed trading account, transfer in at least $1,000 from a non-Ali source, and hold it for 90 days. Offers valid through the end of the year. If you fund from an existing Ali account, you only get $100, so the source matters.
And Grubhub's running this Gold Days promotion all month. $50 off $100 plus Instacart grocery orders every Saturday and Sunday in May. That's actually a solid deal if you're already doing a big grocery run.
Yep, ShopRite also has a short window deal. $50 off $100 in pet products, but only from May 3rd to the 9th. So if you've got a dog or cat, now's the time to stock up on food.
There's also a targeted Venmo offer, $40 back when you spend $40 or more with the Venmo debit card. Not everyone's getting it, so check your app.
And if you want free movie tickets, Atom Tickets is giving away two free tickets to the film Neglected with promo code NEGZACTADOAMI. I have no idea what that movie is, but free is free.
I'll take it. All right, let's get into the AI stuff, because there's a lot.
Oh yeah. So the big story, and I mean big, is this unreleased AI model from Anthropic called Mythos. It has extraordinary hacking capabilities. We're talking about finding software vulnerabilities by chaining multiple bugs together into coherent exploits. That's elite hacker-level stuff.
And the US government has reportedly asked Anthropic not to release it beyond a very limited group of companies.
Correct. David Sachs, the former White House AI czar, publicly said models like Mythos, with novel, dangerous capabilities, cannot be made publicly available immediately and need a staggered release process involving the government.
Wait, so this is the first time the executive branch has restricted software distribution without a specific law or court order?
That's what the Dark Markets newsletter is saying. And here's the kicker. Anthropic is also reportedly raising a pre-IPO funding round at a valuation near $900 billion, possibly hitting a trillion. Semi-analysis estimates their ARR could be as high as $44 billion.
That's insane. But at the same time, the Pentagon just signed AI deals with 7 companies: SpaceX, OpenAI, Google, NVIDIA, Microsoft, AWS, and one called Reflection, to integrate AI into classified military networks. And they simultaneously designated Anthropic as a national security supply chain risk.
Right, so the government is basically saying, we trust these 7 companies with our most sensitive military AI, but not Anthropic, even though Anthropic's model might be the most capable.
That's wild. And OpenAI just released GPT 5.5, which apparently has some similar capabilities, but the government let that one go public.
Yeah, which suggests policymakers think Mythos is meaningfully better at cyber vulnerability discovery specifically. Dean Ball from Hyperdimensional wrote a whole essay about this. He's arguing we need formal evaluation thresholds for cyber risk, maybe run by independent verification organizations, because right now it's just an informal licensing regime with no legal grounding.
He also pointed out that the agency supposedly handling this, CAISI, the Center for AI Standards and Innovation, has a budget under $10 million and just had its newly hired director fired because he came from Anthropic.
Yeah, not exactly confidence-inspiring. Ball's take is that we're stuck between overreacting and underreacting. Governments have an incentive to hoard vulnerabilities for espionage, so giving them too much control could backfire. But also, you can't just let a model that can auto-hack critical infrastructure loose on the internet.
It's a legitimately hard problem. All right, what else in AI?
Meta acquired a humanoid robotic startup called Assured Robot Intelligence. The team's going to work on optimizing models for robotics. Stock fell on the news, which tells you how investors feel about Meta's spending right now.
Speaking of spending, SpaceX has poured over $15 billion into Starship development alone. Total capex between 2024 and 2025 was $20.7 billion, and $12.7 billion of that went to AI initiatives.
And Starlink is basically funding all of it, $11.4 billion in revenue in 2025. So SpaceX is using satellite internet money to build rockets and AI infrastructure.
That's the Elon playbook. Use one business to subsidize the next moonshot.
Literally. Also, ByteDance, yes, the TikTok company, has a drug discovery unit called Anew Labs, and they just presented their first AI design therapy at a major immunology conference. It targets a protein-protein interaction that was previously considered undruggable.
Wait, ByteDance is doing pharmaceuticals now?
Yep. They published a generative model that claims it can design functional molecules across all biological scales. So they're serious about this.
I don't know if that's exciting or terrifying.
Probably both. Okay, let's talk about AI infrastructure and world models, because there's some really nerdy but important stuff here.
Hit me.
So Yan LeCun from Meta and Eric Xing, who's the president of MBZUI, had this public debate at a conference in March about how world models should work. LeCun's pushing this thing called JEPA, which predicts an abstract latent space with no decoder. Xing's approach, called GLP, reattaches a video diffusion decoder as a reality check.
Okay, so LeCun wants the model to think in abstractions and skip the pixels, and Zeng says you need to regenerate the image to make sure the abstraction isn't garbage.
Exactly. Xing's argument is that reconstruction acts as a guardrail. It's a mathematical upper bound on the latent loss, so you can't throw away information you might need later. Lacan's counterargument is basically physics uses PV equals NRT, not molecular simulations. Abstraction is how intelligence works.
And who's winning?
Neither, really. Meta's VGEPA 2 did achieve state-of-the-art results on a video understanding benchmark and was deployed zero-shot on robotic arms using under 62 hours of unlabeled robot video. But NVIDIA's Cosmos, which is more in the Zhang camp, trained on 9,000 trillion tokens and hit 62.6% POSI estimation success versus 4.4% for a baseline model.
So they're both working, just in different ways.
Right. And there's this other model called Drama, which uses Mamba 2 architecture with only 7 million parameters and hit 105% normalized human performance on Atari 100K. For context, Dreamer V3 uses 200 million parameters.
Wait, 105% of human performance with 7 million parameters? That's crazy efficient.
Yeah, state space models are having a moment. NVIDIA's Nemotron H replaced 92% of its attention layers with Mamba 2 blocks and got 3x throughput versus LAMA 3.1 while matching accuracy on standard benchmarks.
So transformers might not be the final answer after all.
Looks that way. There's also this critique from Jing's group arguing that models like Sora are just pixel-level video synthesis tools and don't actually qualify as world models for reasoning and planning.
OpenAI basically admitted that themselves. They said Sora does not accurately model the physics of many basic interactions, like glass shattering.
Exactly. It's a good video generator, but it's not simulating physics. Anyway, on the infrastructure side, there's this newsletter called Nutty that argues the real AI bottleneck right now isn't GPUs or even high bandwidth memory. It's physical power delivery.
Yeah, I saw that. Microsoft's CFO said capacity constraints will continue throughout 2026, and it's not a spending issue, it's site readiness.
Right. A 1 megawatt rack consumes power at the scale of a small building. At 54 volts, delivering 1 megawatt requires over 18,000 amps of current. If you raise the voltage to 800 volts DC, that drops to about 1,250 amps, which is still massive, but at least physically manageable.
So the constraint is literally, can we get enough electricity into the room?
Yeah. And the competitive question isn't revenue growth. It's who gets deeper into the 1 megawatt rack architecture and who stays there longer. Standards, qualification, lifecycle services, those are the real moats.
That makes sense. If you're the company that defines the standard, everyone else has to work around you.
Exactly. All right, let's talk markets and crypto for a sec, because there's some wild valuation stuff happening.
Oh, you mean AXT Inc.?
Yes. So AXT, ticker AXTI, went from a 52-week low of $1.23 to $97.81. That's over 6,000% in trailing 12-month returns.
What do they even do?
They make indium phosphide substrates, which are used in high-speed optical components for AI data centers. They had $88 million in revenue in fiscal 2025 and a $21 million net loss. At current prices, the pro forma market cap is over $6 billion.
So a trailing price to sales of like 70x.
Yep. Even if you annualize Q2 guidance, it's still around 46x. Q1 results were genuinely strong. NP revenue hit $13.6 million, up 70% quarter over quarter, and gross margin swung from negative 6.4% to positive 29.9% year over year.
That's a 36-point margin improvement. That's huge.
Yeah, and their backlog crossed $100 million, up 67% from the prior quarter. China domestic data center revenue grew over 100% quarter over quarter, and management's guiding for another doubling in Q2. But here's the thing. Insiders have been selling, and there's been zero insider buying. The company also just raised capital twice in 5 months, causing about 45% dilution.
So the bull case is the growth is real, but the valuation already prices in everything going perfectly.
Pretty much. PhotonCap's take is that $98 per share might already reflect the final outcome of the narrative, not the beginning.
All right, before we wrap, Any other big stories?
A couple quick ones. GameStop CEO Ryan Cohen made an unsolicited $56 billion bid to acquire eBay. He told the Wall Street Journal it could be a legit Amazon competitor and that he'd turn it into something worth hundreds of billions.
That's bold.
Yeah. Also, Stripe published a deep dive on their DocDB system, which runs on open-source MongoDB, handles 5 million queries per second across 2,000-plus shards, and processed $1.4 trillion in payments in 2024 with 99.9995% reliability.
How is that even possible?
Zero downtime data movement using change data capture-based replication and point-in-time snapshots. Basically, they can migrate tenants, upgrade versions, and reshard without ever taking the system offline.
That's genuinely impressive engineering.
Yeah, and on a much darker note, there's this story from Dark Markets about a woman named Katie Lynn who lost over $250,000 in a pig butchering crypto scam in late 2021. A stranger built trust over weeks on WhatsApp, convinced her to buy Bitcoin on crypto.com, and deposit it into a fake trading platform called NTU Capital. On November 15, 2021, everything vanished.
That's awful.
Yeah. And here's the twist. Her testimony was used as the first prosecution witness in the criminal trial of Roman Storm, the Tornado Cash developer. But the newsletter hints that her story had evidentiary problems that nearly derailed the prosecution.
So they're using a sympathetic victim to build a case linking Tornado Cash to harm, even though the evidence might be shaky.
That's the implication. It's a complicated case about privacy tech, money laundering, and how we prosecute developers for what users do with their tools.
All right, anything else before we go?
Just a couple quick hits. There's a new open source project called Open Design that's basically a local first alternative to Claude Design, supports multiple coding agents, no vendor lock-in. And on the jobs front, Akash Gupta published a guide to AI PM safety interviews. Apparently, safety is now a high-stakes filter round, and a lot of experienced candidates are freezing on it because they've never formalized their safety reasoning.
Makes sense. If you've been doing product work for 20 years, you probably haven't thought deeply about things like adversarial robustness or alignment.
Exactly. He's got a whole framework called SURE, and this 40-minute safety rule. If you're 40 minutes into a 60-minute interview and haven't mentioned safety, find a way to bring it in.
Good to know if you're interviewing.
Yep. And on a lighter note, there's a proposed DTC condiment startup in Half Baked that wants to reverse engineer 5 cult fast food sauces, Chick-fil-A, Big Mac, In-N-Out, Cane's, Polynesian, with cleaner ingredients. They're calling it the dupe model for sauces.
Wait, is that even legal?
Yeah, flavors can't be trademarked under the functionality doctrine. Same reason Dossier can dupe Chanel perfumes. Dossier hit around $100 million in ARR in 2025 doing exactly that.
So you can legally sell a product that tastes identical to Chick-fil-A sauce as long as you don't use their branding.
Correct. Half Baked ran a smoke test with $450 in Meta and TikTok ads and got an 11.8% click-to-sign-up rate. They rated it a go.
I would absolutely buy that.
Same. All right, I think that's everything. Big week ahead, we've got earnings from Palantir, AMD, Pfizer, PayPal, Disney, Uber, McDonald's, and Airbnb. April jobs report drops Friday. And obviously, keep an eye on the Strait of Hormuz situation.
And whether Anthropic's Mythos model ever sees the light of day.
Yeah, that too. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow with more.
See you then.